brothers and sisters in Christ. It isn't at all strange that one of the most recent pieces of Christian literature, Shepherd of Hermits, lists among the vices that Christians are to avoid the sin of boasting. So the shepherd remembered the Apostle James describing boasting as something that is linked with man's arrogance and is therefore evil. And yet when you turn to the pages of the New Testament and do a very quick word study of the concept of boasting, it's interesting to see that the term occurs many, many times, especially in the writings of Paul, and within the Pauline corpus, especially in his letters to the Corinthians. Perhaps even more striking is the fact that when the Apostle writes about boasting, he frequently is encouraging a rather different kind of boasting than the shepherd condemned many decades later. The closing words of this morning's epistle in 1 Corinthians 1, in fact, enjoin those of us to boast in the Lord. We're going to hear those words of the epistle in just a few moments, but before we do, and before we let it speak directly to our hearts, let us think together about our boasting. It was just a few days ago that one of my classmates saw me at a pastoral conference and said, "You know, I read about the seminary's magnificent enrollment every time I turn around. I sure hope you're not going to lapse into a boasting syndrome about your family at Concordia Seminary." And I had to think about that because I suppose, being so close to the seminary's growth and its struggles, perhaps we have lapsed into thinking about our large family. And an element of boasting occurs when we do. But if you think about that example, it's easy to see that that's rather typical of what we do. We boast as Americans about the great things in our dear native land. We boast as a church body about our accomplishments and successes. We boast as institutions. We boast as pastors, as theological students, all too frequently. In fact, we've grown rather sophisticated in our boasting. We find subtle ways of letting our brothers know that we're rather proud of our accomplishments, sometimes even proud of our humility and modesty, because we know that that's a becoming virtue for a man of the cross. It's quite a different thing, then, when the Apostle enjoins the Corinthians in this day's epistle, and in many of his writings in the New Testament, to boast in a different way. Now, him that boasteth, boast in the Lord. And as you hear those words from the Apostle read in just a few moments in 1 Corinthians 1, you notice that there are two characteristics of this kind of boasting that is quite different from our natural propensity in boasting. One is that the Apostle enjoins us to boast about Christ and not about ourselves. And secondly, he encourages us to boast about weakness rather than strength. As a matter of fact, boasting about weakness is almost the type into which Christ fits as the example and the object of our boasting. So Paul reminds his Corinthian readers that there aren't many among us who are truly wise and who can boast about our wisdom, who are truly strong and can boast about our strength, who are truly rich and noble and can therefore boast about our well-being. So he says, let us boast in weakness. God has chosen the foolish things and the weak things to shame those who are not. Think about it for a moment. It was in the flesh of a man that God dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. It was in the ordinary footsteps of a man on our soil, the man of God, that you and I and all mankind have peace with God. boast, the apostle says, let us learn to boast in weakness, the weakness of God in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, reconciling us in the world to himself. It is in the weakness of water that we are washed clean in holy baptism. It is in the weakness of bread and wine, again this morning, that he comes to weak people like us and gives us his body and his blood for the remission of our sins, for our life, and for our salvation. And it's even through the weakness of the words of absolution spoken by your very weak and frail lips and by me, that he imparts words of forgiveness and comfort and life to us and to all believers. No wonder that the apostle enjoins upon you and me a new way of boasting. Let us boast in weakness, first and foremost, the weakness of God's Son. For it was in his weakness that God has given us new strength. Let us hear attentively then this day's epistle, 1 Corinthians 1, 20-31. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For if truth in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, but pleased God through the foolishness of what we seek to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we seek Christ crucified, the stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your call, brethren, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards, not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that mean, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God has made all wisdom, all righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, that him who boasts, boasts in the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.